Right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you all again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your grace. Lord, thank you for all that you do for us. We ask, Lord, that you'd fill us with your Spirit. You'd give us wisdom, Father, and understanding. Help us, Lord, apply these things to our lives, Father, that they would become a part of us, Father. Lord, again, we just thank you for all that you do. Help us be faithful in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. I want to open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again in verse 1, just going to do some reading here to get down to where I want to go, talking about the resurrection. And now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, lest you believe in vain. Just a few comments on the way here. That Paul is making known, brethren, the gospel which he's preached to us. And that gospel is about Christ and who he was and his teachings. You know, a lot of times we want to separate the resurrection, you know, like it was something all by itself. But it was just a part of the gospel. It is the part, the finished work of Christ's work on this earth. You know, so it is very important that we have that. But that gospel that he preached is about who Christ was, not just his resurrection. It was about the message of redemption, our redemption. And holding fast to those things. It says, for I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And that he was buried and that he raised on the third day. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now. But some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. I want to just kind of go through here that after Christ was risen to the dead, he appeared to Cephas, Peter, and then the 12. And I've often said, you know, that whenever we look at the Bible, some people just put the Bible as one whole book, you know, and it's all the Word of God, and it is. But the way we understand what Jesus taught and the teachings, there is a method to understanding it. Whenever we read the teachings of Jesus and our gospel is centered around Christ and what he taught and his Word, that lays a foundation for us. And I've told you before often that how I appreciate, you know, the apostles, the writings of the apostles, Peter and James and John and Jude, how that they were, these are men who walked with Jesus. And so as we understand who Jesus is, you know, we see the gospel as it's portrayed in the four gospels of these men who were with him, and he wrote it down and told about what he said. And then later, these men in their epistles, that their writings are based on actual walking with Jesus. And so when we begin to understand that, it really gives us a good foundation. You know, so many people just go right straight to Paul whenever they're talking about the gospel and the resurrection and these things. And they build their importance on their understanding of theology. instead of the real person of who Christ is. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, the real gospel. And that's centered around Christ and His teachings and who He is and how it's important to us to understand those things. Yes, I don't want to take one iota of importance of the resurrection, but I want to focus on what that resurrection and who it was that was resurrected. You know, we live in a world where many people profess to be Christians, and it's easy to see that they don't really care about what Jesus taught. Their goal is about them being saved. And then we get into the place where, you know, there's people that are imitating the teachings of Jesus, and they look right, and they sound right, and, you know, many times it's just so close to right that it's hard for us sometimes to determine the real. And that's the kind of world I want to get to in just a moment. But He appeared then to James and to the all apostles, and last of all, as the one untimely born, He appeared to me also. We know the story of how Paul was railing against Christ, pushing the law and going to try to, you know, that this was an imposter. And then Christ met him and opened his eyes. And he realized that this is who Christ was. And he just says that, and the last of all was the one untimely born. He wasn't there to walk with Jesus. And He appeared to me also, and He says, for I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. See, there was one time we talk about low, you know, one of the songs we sang about how that God even came to rescue, the one when we were talking about grace, that the amount of sins, you know, that some have committed that can be forgiven. And here Paul, not because he was in the depths of dark sin that we would think of, but he persecuted the church of God. And to him, that put him in the lowest of low of humanity, because he had been persecuting Christ's church, and he saw himself as that. He says, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. He says, verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace towards me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Not yet I, but the grace of God with me. And that's where I wanted to get to. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And you know, whenever we think of being real and being, that is the essence of what a Christian is. Genuine. You know, I mess around with old things sometimes, and sometimes, you know, it seems like if there's something that of an antique or something of old that has value, you know, there's not very many of them left, or there wasn't very many of them made, and their value increases, you know. But it seems like every time there's an item like that that becomes seemingly valuable, you know what happens? Someone comes along and tries to create a false image, or they create a fake. You know, the more valuable something is, the more the world tries to imitate it. They try to imitate it. And you know, there's nothing wrong with imitation if what we're imitating is right. You know, we're told to imitate Christ. And we're told to imitate Paul. Paul said himself, imitate me, or do what I'm doing. But the heart of that imitation has to come at the heart. You know, anybody can just create or imitate something good, but if the heart of it is not real, it's just a fake. Like I said, I've even bought fakes thinking that I was finding a piece that I thought was valuable. And then after I get it home and I start to look at it a little more, I begin to see some things. No, wait a minute, that's not quite right. But it takes some close examination, because there's a lot of fakes out there. And you know, the harder, the closer that fake is to the original, the harder it is to determine that it's a fake. You know, it's pretty, and that's even the way it is in Christianity. You know, there's churches that can imitate the real so closely, but yet there's just something not quite right. We know that there's something not quite right, and I think one of the ways that an imitation, if it has nothing more than just imitating what we're doing, you know, there's basically nothing else there other than just doing the same things we're doing, but there's no real life in it. It's just an imitation. And it's, like I said, as Jesus said to beware, there was people that would come in sheep's clothing. In other words, wearing the gospel. But inside, they're ravening wolves. And they come in and they just want to destroy and devour. And that's whenever you can really begin to see whether they're a fake or not. You know, it's this thing that Paul says, you know, this is one of the things that a fake and a real is that a fake has to keep up an appearance. A fake has to have a perfect appearance on the outside so that no one would question the reality of it. So that, I think that's one of the problems that fakes, you know, that's why they deceive so many people, because it's just so well maintained on the outside that no one would even question. In fact, if you even question it, they come all apart. That someone would dare question who they are. You know, you get accusations about, well, you're judging me, or who do you think you are to dare question me? And we see that in the Pharisees, the way they responded to Jesus. I mean, the ultimate fakes. And Jesus came in the midst of them, and their goal was to try to prove the real wrong. That was their whole purpose. You know, see, their existence, the very existence of something real demands that the fake gets rid of the real and destroys it. Because if the real is real, it just shows everybody that they're a fake. And their existence is of no value because they're a fake. And so their purpose is to come and just try to do away, question the real constantly. You know, and that's one thing about the real. You know, the one thing the real can't tolerate is a fake. And the problem is the real doesn't have to prove the fake is a fake, because they're just real. The fake has to prove that the real is a fake to give themselves credibility. Paul said in verse 10, it says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." You know, whenever we look at the Christian life, we've told about this, that Jesus was the I Am, and our goal is to be. Paul could say, I am what I am. After he said, I was a persecutor of the church of God, and I don't deserve any of this, but I can still be what I am by the grace of God. You see, to be real is to be real. You know, we don't have any image to uphold to the world. We don't have any image to protect to the world. You know, the boys talked about being a light to the world. It's nothing that we can put a false face on and just pretend that we're that light. Because even though it may appear that to a few people, and we may deceive a few people, in reality, we're nothing still. It's fake. It's empty. You know, it's sad, like I told you before. I buy something and I think, oh, I've got a real antique here. It's really me. And then I find out it's a fake. And everything I spent on it is just, I just want to take it and just break it. Because it's worthless. It's so disappointing when you find out that something you thought was real was nothing more than a cheap and made in China imitation. How much more will it be on the judgment day when we stand before God and these imitations, these false faces, these just appeared to be nothing that's real. Just a cheap imitation. You know, and like I said, we're told to imitate the right thing, but that imitation has to start with a heart that's real so that it can build and become more like that, not just put on a false facade. I remember, and I even told this whenever I was with the church, plain people, and I every day, I mean, you just see everybody's got everything in order. Everything is in order. And after a year or two, you know, just all the time ready for this mask to come off and see who they really are. And I even said that after I'd been there 2 or 3 years, I said, you know, I've just been waiting for years here. Just, you know, I've been expecting any time to come into church and everybody just takes their mask off and I see who you really are. And I told them this. And I said, well, I'm beginning to think maybe, you know, this is real. Because it's been this many years. But when I said that, there was just a shocked look come on their face, a scared look in their eyes. It was just scared them to death. Why? Because just being real brings terror to a fake. And it wasn't long. Another while, I saw the mask come off. And I saw what was this pretty face ripped off. And the real ugly religion bared its fangs. You see, the real doesn't have to put on a front. They just are what they are. They love people. You know, that doesn't make them perfect. They make mistakes. They might not even be to the same level of obedience that some others are. But you can look at people and if their heart is real before God can pour that grace that everybody loves to sing about and talk about, He can pour that grace into that real vessel. You know, and that's how you taste the grace of God. You know, God doesn't pour His grace on fake. God doesn't pour His grace on phony. God pours His grace on the real. You know, the real broken vessel sometimes that just don't even feel like they can walk without help. The real can be honest with people. The real can be honest with each other. You know, we call each other brother and we call each other sister. Rightly so, because we're part of the family of God. And you know, just like in a real family learns to know each other. They know the weaknesses, they know the faults, they know how this one tends to be. But we're family and we love each other. And sometimes, family, because we know each other and we think we got the other one figured out, a lot of times, and that's where a lot of that comes from, we begin to think that we really know somebody. And so we presume on them, and we can even get at each other, peck at each other a little bit, and get a little aggravated with each other because we think we got the other one figured out. But in reality, when we love each other, that's just part of it, of the family. And that's how we can actually love each other. It's because we can actually be close enough to each other to see each other for what we really are. And that's real. You know, whenever we just are what we are and we talk to people that are seeking the Lord and they begin to see that we're real, most people, that scares them to death. Because that sees through their mask and they realize that I don't want people knowing me that well. I don't want people being able to see me that well. And so they run from it. And I think that's where the grace of God, and I think that's where the Spirit of God, and that's how it helps keep the church where it's supposed to be. Without having the rules or the face or the appearance that looks so nice and feels so comfortable, and you know, people can just hide in all of that. But when you take all that away and you just are what you are, Jesus is coming back for you, me, that I am what I am. And God can pour His grace out on that and fix us if we just keep open to that. You start putting a mask on just for that appearance, just so you appear like you're something, the grace slides away and the mask becomes stronger and we just become religion. The challenge is to be real. You know, whenever we were first beginning to meet here, one of the questions that all these churches began to ask us, well, who do you fellowship with? And we were supposed to name a whole list of churches that would accept us to give us credibility so that we were somebody. And we just kind of, well, we tried, but no one would just accept us. Finally, realized one day that, you know, in honesty, we're not even actually seeking fellowship with everybody else in the world because we don't need it. We have fellowship right here among us. We have brotherhood. So there's not that longing, and I think a lot of that desire to get applause of men or acceptance of men in the world and all these other groups that accept us and approve of us. All that is just a bunch of stuff to kind of fill the hole or the void of just being real. And so it makes us appear and makes us feel better that we have all this acceptance of men whenever we have the acceptance of God. We don't need that. It's just like, you know, I've seen people in homes, you know, the husband and wife out in public. They're just all friendly and lovey-dovey and everything's great, you know. And then get home and they won't even talk to each other. But they have to make that appearance that everything's great at home. So that to make up for what they don't have at home. Pretending. Or being a fake. It goes in all realms of life. People having to make up for what they're not. You know, the real doesn't have to seek the fake's approval. I am what I am. You know, and being that am, you know, I can tell you my weaknesses. Because that's what I am. And then I share my weakness. Whenever I share my weaknesses, the brethren just know, well, that's who he is. And they can rally behind and be a brother. But a fake, when they smell blood in the water, they get their knives out. Start sharpening them up on those weaknesses so that they can come at you. That's how a fake operates. And that's why it's like being a dove, you know, in the midst of, or a sheep in the midst of wolves. You share your weakness and the wolves get ready to pounce. And that's where we can just continue to be real, even if we get eaten and chewed out once in a while. We're not trying to gain the approval of everybody. We have the desire to gain the approval of one. And when you have that approval, it doesn't matter what anyone else says about you. You know, it kind of stings a little when you hear some of the things. You know, I don't know how many people I've introduced myself to, and I tell them, you know, they have a look when I tell them who I am. Oh, you're him. And I've just told them, I said, well, you know, if I believed everything that I've heard about myself, I probably wouldn't like me either. But I am what I am. And may that be all of our desire, that by the grace of God, I am what I am. And because of that grace that's able to transform us, we can be the person that walks in a room, whether they like you or not. The level of the light gets raised. The level of the peace gets raised. You know, there's life walked into the room. You know, it's just a blessing. You know, people wonder what the difference is sometimes. And it's called life. It's the life of the resurrection of this Christ that we're talking about being proven again today. There's just a difference between the real and the fake. May God add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
We went to a funeral this week, and it was some old friends and a old church that we used to go to that was pretty much a Mennonite church. And so there's lots of Mennonite people there. And towards the end, you know, we had a good time. We got to see a lot of old friends. And towards the end, some of my girls and some other girls were kind of grouped together. And they all just, you know, looked real proper. You know, these girls, they just, you know, just had it, just looking just real proper and nice, you know, all their, the way that they're dressed, and just not a flaw there. And there's this other teenage girl about their same age, about like 10 feet away, you know, and she wasn't dressed like they were, and just looked like, you know, she obviously wasn't, you know, didn't have the same teaching or grew up the same way. And I just saw that sort of click there and saw her standing there 10 feet away, and they were all, had their sort of backs turned to her. And you could almost, and she was by herself, she was lonely. And it just looked really ugly, looked awful. And I turned around and had done something, and I turned around again. I was happy to see two of my daughters had left that group and went over to that girl and started talking to her. And that was just a real, real blessing. And I think they learned that behavior here. And, you know, and it was just a real blessing that, you know, just, and the thing is, some of those girls that were dressed all proper, I really don't, there's a few of them I'm not so sure of. About how they really are inside it. But so that was a blessing. And later that evening, we were driving home, went to stop to eat in Tulsa. And this man came up to us, you know, in the city of Tulsa. He was just really blessed by how our girls were dressed, you know, the modesty and everything spoke to him. So, you know, in one way, you know, it could have been a bad deal. And in one way, it was a real blessing. And anyway, stood out to me. Hope we can always just not, like you say, look down our noses at other people. You know, try to do the right thing, but don't put ourselves above anybody that, for whatever reason, isn't there.
I think that desire to be real.
Amen. If you're real, just like Paul here, he saw himself as he was. Didn't deserve to be the least of the apostles because he was real. He saw who he was. And that, you know, it seemed like sometimes he's bragging about, but inside, he knew who he still was, and that's why he could say things sometimes that seemed that way. But and just be honest. All right. Well, Lord bless y'all. We'll meet back here at 6 o'clock, Lord willing. Part in peace. Be with you until we meet again.